welcome to this episode of Hope in the Struggle. Today, you get to hear from a wonderful, wonderful person that I happen to personally know by the name of Angela Hornberg. Angela Hornberg is a broker. She's a realtor. She has multiple companies, and she's even transitioned into helping agents and companies grow their businesses in real estate. How we know Angela is not only are they personal friends of ours, they go to our school, but she lives near me, and I drove over to her house about a year and a half ago to see it burning in flames. She tells us this compelling and just drenched in Jesus story of how her dream home went up in flames one night, what God has done in their life since, and how they are not only recovering but rebuilding. This is a little bit of a longer episode, but my loving encouragement to you is cut it up in two pieces if you have to, but this is well worth your listen. All right, without further ado, Angela Hornberg. Let me go ahead and pin our beautiful Angela. So you guys, this is Angela. Angela Hornberg is a dear friend of mine, but I met her at school, right? Our kids are friends. Angela, like logistically, and I'm not going to go into all of the amazing things you are, but from someone who doesn't really understand what you do, you need to know, you guys, first of all, she's a wife, is not only a mother, but she has even adopted a child. Her husband came with some bonus children. And like, to know what that means as, you know, as a wife and mom comes with an extra set of circumstances, and she walks through it with such direction and grace, and she loves it. But in addition to that, she is a real estate agent. She's a broker. She runs companies. She has employees. She is the type of person, if you want something to be done, you call her. She's the one that will send you, can I add you to, you know, all of my Google Calendar stuff for the game? Yes. And then she's like, hey, I'm planning this dinner here. We're going to do this and this. Do you want to come? Yes. And here's the calendar invite. And I'm like, oh, I love her so, so very much. So without really going to too much, and I want her to tell her story, but just so you know who this is, last year, I told y'all we had a dear friend that lived close to us whose home burned down. Garrett and I drove up. And it gets me in tears every time because I don't think you understand how traumatic it looks at night to see a friend of yours home burning. And I don't mean a little fire in the window, engulfed. And I've never seen Angela waver, but she came up to me with arms wide, like holding back the tears. And she was like, my Barbie dream house. And I thought it was so funny, but so sweet at the same time. We have watched them walk through that. And I mean, it's been great that she does what she does, knowing all of this. But you guys, we have been nothing but inspired by them. And I want her just to share her story with you a little bit, because I think it's going to be impactful and you're going to love her just as much as I do. And you just need to know, when I say she gets stuff done, you're going to find out about how she speaks to you, that she's a person you can, you know, totally rely on to get things done. So Angela, you just start by telling us a little bit more about you. And I want you to tell them like how you grew up and kind of what got you to where you are today and what you do.
So touching on the way that I grew up really poor, bouncing around from mobile homes and not nice ones. My parents were divorced really young. My parents have addiction issues, still current. I love the day when I can say they're recovering, but unfortunately that's still not the case. So as a child, I saw a lot of poor decisions being made, and I decided at a really early age that I was not going to live that same life. And of course, as a kid, you only have so many decisions that you can make, but I'm thankful that of all of the challenges I had as a young child, my parents did keep me in church. They did run me up to the vacation Bible school. You know, maybe that was to get rid of me. I don't know. But I loved it. And so I'm very thankful that God has always been the main man in my life. And for that, I'm very grateful because like many of us, I had some really fun and wild teenage years where God was not the main man in my life. But thankfully he brought me out of that and he's given me so much opportunity while he's also working on my stubborn head and my stubborn heart my entire life. And so I like to say and remind people that when I graduated high school, it was in a really small town. There's not a lot going on back then. You either went to beauty school or you got married and you had kids. And I didn't want to do that. I never wanted to be married. I didn't want any children. I saw them as weighing me down. I was going to go to New York and I was going to be a big businesswoman and live happily ever after by myself. That was my dream. And then I met my husband. And I like to joke that he ruined that for me. No, I'm just kidding. God had a better plan. I just didn't know. And so I met my husband, who was divorced, which was not something I was looking for. He also had two kids, which is definitely not what I was looking for. And I realized that I was starting to gain feelings for him. So I broke it off, as one does when they start feeling things for people. And I've never been more miserable in those 2 weeks that I broke it off with him. And so we got back together. I started spending time with the kids. They're adorable and so cute. And I fell in love with all of them, all three of them. And so we got married. I fell in love so much with his kids that, bless that man, he went and undid his vasectomy to have kids with me. Did you know that, Mindy?
I did not know this. Shut up, please. Never, never keep things like that from me. Wow. That's love.
Yeah, that is love. I really wanted to have a child because I love Summer and Tyler so much and they were so cool. And we struggled and struggled to get pregnant. And then I got pregnant and one finally sucked and I was so excited. And so I had him. And then by my surprise, my joke is I had a C-section. And if you've ever had a C-section, you know that that's really rough. You know, you're to abstain from sex and all the things. And so as soon as the doctor cleared me, I thought, okay, I'm going to be a good wife. Like, I'm really not in it, but I'm going to have sex. And you know what? God is funny because guess what? I turned up pregnant. I had sex one time in a whole month. And came right out with another baby. And so I had two that are 13 months apart. And then we tried again for years and years and years. 8 years later, came up with another beautiful baby. With him, I had a really crazy hard recovery. I had a lot of complications from the C-section. And so I was told I was not to have any more children. And so I can follow rules. So I decided that would probably be a good idea. I just still was feeling not complete. And adoption is something that's always weighed on my heart because of the way I grew up. Although I had some challenges, I always recognized that I was not pulled from my family. And I knew people that had been pulled and just different adoption things that have come into my world over the years. And so I thought, you know, what if we just put feelers out there? Let's pray about it. We prayed about it for a long time, probably about a year to 2 years before we took any action. And, you know, when you go down the adoption road, they say, you know, it can take years and years and years. So we had our home study done and we didn't go with an agency because we really didn't feel like that was a great use of our financial resources. And so we just put a couple profiles up on two adoption websites. And 3 months later, our daughter's mom reached out to us. And that was in May. She was due in July. And so it was really fast and very furious. And adoption is, it's sad because it's rooted in trauma. And yet I think you ladies of all people can understand that trauma can become a very beautiful thing and a very big way to make an impact on others. And so that really is what God had his hands on with our adoption of our daughter, because y'all, if anybody else would have adopted this child, she would have been in for a real rough. To know her is to love her, but people that don't know she's adopted because she somehow looks just like us and she is me made over. And so people are like, they're like, wow, that apple didn't fall off the tree at all. I was like, oh, I know. But yeah, she is a mess and we love her. And she is just, she's going to be one of those. I believe every one of my children is a world changer. They're going to go out and change this world and make a positive impact. And I'm so excited to see what hers is going to be because she has a very unique story. And so all of that to say, that's how I became a mom of six. And I love it. Six and done, by the way, I would like to retire at some point. So that is me personally. I can tell you on the business side, once Rick ruined all my plans, I didn't really know what I wanted to be. I actually went to college for nursing and I never sat for any of my state tests. I've never practiced a day in my life, but I'm really knowledgeable, by the way. So I got into real estate. I was actually a bartender in college. That's how I put myself through college. And one of my regulars recruited me out of the bar and he said, I see something in you. Will you come run my real estate office for me? And at the ripe old age of 20, I said, sure, sounds like a good plan. And so I switched my school schedule because most of my clinicals were, I could do that. And so I went and I started managing his real estate office. And at the time, it was one of the fastest growing franchises in the nation. And so it was really exciting. This was back in 2004. So the real estate market was booming and I was living in Florida. And so I like to say that I saw the best of times and I saw the worst of times. I loved real estate. What I thought I loved about nursing was helping people. And it turns out what I didn't know about myself back then is I lack genuine natural empathy. Don't laugh, Mindy. It's a true thing. People don't tell you. Okay. I just think people don't talk about this enough, right? The first time I got in trouble for being bossy was second grade. I was always made to feel so bad for being me my whole life until I got into real estate. No one ever tells you that it's okay. Not everybody is cut from the same cloth. Some people have a genuine gift in that. My gifts are abundant. Thank you, Jesus. But empathy is not one of them, unfortunately. So it turns out I wouldn't have made a good nurse. I always wondered why my professors would always question me, like, did I really want to do this? Was I really cut out? And I was always offended. And I realize now that's why they were asking me. So as a business person, it turns out that works out really well. And so I loved real estate because it was still helping people, but it was satiating a big drive that I have for business. And so I just never looked back. And I have just followed models. I have committed myself to being a forever student of those that have gone ahead of me and before me, and always gleaning ideas and always serving others. I think when we commit to serving others and always coming from a place of helping people, there's so much to learn and so much that we can hone in our craft.
Absolutely. And so with that pausing, I need to speak of a couple things. Her two with Rick that she had, their names are Mason and Cash. Garrett's age is directly in between them. And I have to be honest, he cannot tell you which one he prefers. He loves them both. And he would get in trouble. They did driver's ed together because they could not stop laughing. Yes. Like he said, he would just look at Cash. Christine, you'll get this. Just look at Cash and Garrett would start dying laughing. He wouldn't do anything. Like that's how they are. But Lily is this little girl that, by the way, she comes into whatever game is the boys are playing. We fight for her. Like I have got a 50 before and waved to her, come here, Lily, because I want to hold that girl so bad. But to let you know, she has a special purpose, but she is so special. She got kicked out of ski school.
Yeah.
Because she knew more than that. But that girl's going to do something amazing. And she does. She looks just like them, which is so crazy. So what I'd love for you to do now, Angela, if it's okay, tell us what you currently do for business. I mean, just enough so we can understand. And then I really want to get into the house fire.
Yeah. So for business, I'm a real estate broker. I do still practice real estate, mainly with my sphere of influence and my past clients and people that I personally know. The other part of my business is I lead and develop other agents to build big businesses in real estate. I do that through being a broker to other agents. And then also I do coach and consult top producing agents that are selling at least 10 million and above. I do also broker a property management company. So it is just a parallel business to what I'm already doing. And so I wear a lot of hats and I believe that you guys of all people can understand the importance of who you surround yourself with mattering tremendously. And so I always pray every morning for the people in my businesses and for God to bring the right people in front of me that I can help them with their finances and that we can all be building this big legacy together. And I like to say that because a lot of times people are like, how do you do what you do? They're feeling inferior. And the reality is it's because I'm not doing everything. And I think that's really important for us to remind ourselves because it's easy for us to beat ourselves up sometimes.
Well, yeah. And no one does it all. And if they do, then things in their life are lacking, like their relationships or their marriage or their children, things that you can't repair. And I know for a fact that you don't ever put any of that in the wrong position because you do delegate. Can we move on to the fire?
Yes. Yes.
First of all, I think you're amazing. And I love you dearly. And I've had lots of fun with her, by the way, like girl, just so you know, she goes and she has fun sometimes too, but let's set the scene. This was how, like a year and how many months ago?
Yeah. So it was November 29th of 2022. And I will say that, you know, I told you guys before, growing up poor, I just didn't want to struggle financially. I saw what that was like, and I didn't want to do that as an adult. And at the same time, as a business owner, I have to keep my overhead really low on my personal life because I have to pay for everybody's salary before I ever get paid, right? So on the personal side, I think it's fair to say that from a financial standpoint, I do tend to put myself last, not in a bad way, but in a responsible way. And so when we purchased our house in 2020, it really felt like a full circle moment, like, wow, we can buy this. This is our dream house. We felt God's hand all over the process of it because it was a very much a God thing. And we just felt so blessed. I am a fervent prayer. Every morning I would thank God, not just for the roof over my head, but thank you for this beautiful house. Thank you for this place that I see you in every day. And so I loved it. I loved our house and I was so happy to be there. And so we saved and saved and saved to put a pool in because that was our desire. And so in the summer of 2022, we had a pool put in. We had an outdoor kitchen put in. And our goal with that was with having all the kids that we have, and specifically the teenagers, to be able to have fellowship and teen Bible study, to allow Rick, the plan was for Rick to be leading a Bible study with the boys, but to have this entertaining space. And so we had that put in the summer, and they were finalizing some of the construction pieces to that on November 29th. And they called us during the day and they said, hey, we're doing some plumbing work and we saw some smoke. We just need y'all to come home and make sure that it's out. We think we got it out, but just come home, let us in, whatever. So we said, we'll give you the front door code. You don't even need us. Just go in. The dogs are crated. Like, you're good. And so they went in, my husband went home, checked everything out, gave us the thumbs up, everything's good. And so that was about 2 o'clock that day. We picked the kids up from school, went home. The cleaners were still there, which was weird because normally they're done by like 3 p.m. This was around 4:30. And the boy, Mason, had a basketball game. And so we thought, it's fine. We'll gather up our stuff. We'll go to the game and then we'll come home. After the game, it was a beautiful night, like November 29th in Texas. It is like totally hit or miss. It's either balmy and 72 or it's 31. And so it was a beautiful evening. It was warm. We had a warm front. And so we said, hey, let's go eat dinner. So we went, we ate dinner, went home, and then get home. We're signing folders, making sure homework is done, getting our little one, she was 3 at the time, started her bath water, getting her stripped down. And I said, I smell something. And all fairness, I will take to my crazy. I'm crazy. And I do make my husband check on things that are not real on a fairly regular basis. And he said, it's probably somebody's bonfire. And I said, I don't know. It smells different. Will you just check? And so I'm keeping on going. I think it's important to note here that we are not yellers in our house. We do not yell. We don't curse. That's just, I don't do it. I won't do it. And he came running in the house screaming and he's like, get out of the house. It's on fire. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? You know, that's like natural me. I'm like, I have questions here.
Yeah. And so I did.
I had to ask him. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, it's on fire. Get out. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know? So here Lily is in her pull up, stark naked. And then my son, thankfully, was still in the kitchen working on his homework. And so I grab her and I grab him and he's hearing this. And our 8-year-old, he's a giant, by the way. So I'm actually wearing heels today. I am a whole 5'2.5". And our 8-year-old is like up to here on me. So I grab him. His legs are not working. It's like, you know, you hear fire, you think your kids will run away and they don't, they panic. And so I dragged those two out the front door. And when we went back and looked at our videos later, I'm surprised his arm was still in his socket because I was literally dragging him. You get out the front door and you're like, oh my gosh, I have 2 more kids in the house. So, and because their legs weren't working, I wasn't sure if I could leave them there, you know? So I'm literally dragging these two through the front yard, going to the boys' side of the house. And thankfully, the cleaning ladies have been there because their blinds were open. The cleaning ladies always let the light into the musty teenage boy rooms. And I'm banging on the window. I'm like, get out. And Mason, he didn't know what was going on. He got up and locked his door. And I was like, what are you doing? So he gets up, he comes out, and I'm like, the house is on fire. Where is Cash? I can't get Cash out. Well, Cash had the shower on and was using the bathroom. And so I was afraid. It's like, it's such a weird thing. It's like, you're afraid to bring these little ones back in the house. You don't know what they're going to do. Do you send your other kid back in to get your other one? Do you leave them? You know? And so I told Mason, because the fire was on the other side of the house at this point, I said, go in there and get Cash. And so he went in, he got Cash. Here came Cash, partially clothed. He's like, Mom, I was pooping. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Like, we have an actual emergency.
We have fire, right?
But like, come on. And so I told the teenagers, I said, take the kids to this neighbor's house and see if they're home. And so the boys went over there, they took the kids, and thankfully the neighbors were home and they answered the door and they took all the kids in without question. Like, we don't really know them. We've talked with them, but we don't really know them, you know? And so the husband came over and he's like, what can I do? I was like, I have no idea. I don't even know what to do. We'd already called 911. That was, you know, happening. And he said, thankfully, he had the foresight. He said, where are the car keys? Let's pull the cars away from the house. You know, and then he helped me go inside and get our dogs, which are like, you know, 100 pounds a piece. And so it was just one of those things where we had just enough time to get everybody. I went in to find our kids' treasured cat. And I did find him, but he was so scared. And so he wouldn't let me catch him. And so I chased him out of the house. I saw him leave the house with my own eyes, but we don't know if maybe he went back in or what happened to him, because we haven't seen him since. So, but that moment when the kids went to the neighbor's house and I'm standing in the driveway and I'm watching my Barbie dream house, which I joke with Mindy because I loved Barbies. I had the Barbie pink Corvette. I wanted to be the business Barbie. Was into the Barbie businesses. I didn't want the Malibu house. I wanted the Barbie grocery store and the business. And, you know, I'm standing there and I'm watching it and I'm telling myself, like, this is real. This is really happening. I know that I'm prepared for this, but what's the first thing I'm supposed to do here? You know, I was just stunned. And really in the beginning, when I was standing there in that moment, I thought, you know, this is going to be really inconvenient. It was on one side of the house, but it's going to be fine. We're going to move into the other side. It's not going to be a problem. Like, God has you. You're all out. And I'm like giving myself this pep talk. I like to say I'm a trained optimist, which I am, but these are the things that I dialogue with myself regularly. And no sooner do I say those things that the wind picks up and the tiny little fire on the one side of my house comes out from the roof. And then ignites, and then you just see it just go through the whole thing. And it starts shooting out the chimney. I see, like, through the windows, through the fire glare in the windows, I can just see everything in our house on fire. The plants, the kitchen table, just everything. And then in that moment, I knew everything was still going to be okay, but it wasn't going to be okay the way that I thought it was going to be okay. And so what I didn't know is that Mason and Cash, when they went to the neighbor's house, started reaching out to their friends. And so in that moment, I'm not even a crier, guys. And as many said, I'm not even a hugger, but turns out when your house is burning down, you're a hugger. I look up and I see Mindy and I see all these people that know us and love us. I mean, some even came with backpacks of clothes. Like, they had in the foresight of the 5 to 10 minutes to know, like, hey, their kids are going to need some stuff. And so I've never been happier to see people than I was in that moment, just like a little bit of comfort. And also in that moment was the hardest, probably one of the hardest things that I have had to deal with, which, if I'm being really honest, is pride. I never realized that I was prideful. We give so generously to so many, to our church, to just so many organizations and so many things that we have a heart for. And I've always felt that one of my God-given abilities is to create income and to bless people who are going to take that and really make these big impacts in the places that they have strengths. And so to be on the other side of that was insanely humbling. And to be on the other side of that from people that were in our village, right? You guys get that because you're part of this amazing group. I think we sometimes forget to value the people that are around us, that love us, that will rally around us and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so that was a really tough night. I was very glad for Mindy. And, you know, I had told you guys it was a really warm night, and it was. Well, the whole reason the house fire picked up was because a cold front had moved in. That was like the end of our warm front. And we went from 72 degrees that evening down to 30. And so after the adrenaline had left my body, I realized, like, I'm shivering, I'm in survival mode, and, you know, I'm not properly clothed for the event. And so I was never more grateful to be sitting in a warm vehicle surrounded by ladies who were not letting me they weren't letting me do anything besides pray and talk about how this is going to be okay. And in that moment, that's exactly what I needed. And to have friends too that I can call and say, hey, I need you to come get all of my kids. I need you to take them to your house because they're familiar with it, and bring them some creature comfort. And this is a school night, by the way, of course, because nothing, you know, is ever going to happen when it's convenient. And so, you know, just to have that ability to have people take your kids in, put clothes on them, like my daughter, and do all of that was literally a godsend. And then our house literally burned to the ground. There was no saving it. They said, there's no point in trying to save it. It's gone. There's nothing that we can do here. And so it burned for days. So it was a big deal. It was very surreal, something that you hope no one ever has to go through, and definitely something that you will never forget.
Absolutely. And like I said, you cannot even understand. You hear it, but if you were to see it, it was one of the most traumatic looking things I've ever seen. So, okay, there's that, which is a lot. Because I know what I saw over this last year, and how, you know, what I was coming up on 2 years in the fall or whatever. But I guess one of my questions is, what was your kind of driving force? So what were you telling yourself, or how are you acting out this daily, thinking of all the things? Because you guys, I just want to put this into like a focus for you. Their passports were burnt. All of the baby photos burnt. Everything. It was so hot that they had to re-pour the slab. So you got to understand, in Texas, you know, we have cement, we have slabs here. We don't have that many pier beam homes. You know, we got tornadoes and such. They had to tear up the slab and re-pour it because it burned so hot. And it's something like, I could be wrong, Angela, it's like it has to burn to like thousands of degrees. Yeah. For the slab to get reported. And like we went by like every day for a couple of days, you guys, the steam, the smoke was still rising for days. So if that can at all kind of drive home, just think of anything, you know, all the clothes, we can figure that out. Although Angela did say, my lifelong collection of shoes. and then her husband likes Tommy Bahama shirts. Y'all know what those are? And like, he's an absolute comedian. Like, smart A comedian, and he's so fun to be around, like oh my gosh. But like, he came up and he's like, my Tommy Bahama collection. And it, you know, they were like, which I would deflect with humor as well. I mean, hello. But if you can just take a moment, and all the things that you would take for granted, they're gone. Like her daughter's underwear, I mean, you know, the boy's socks and shoes. And like, I will have to tell you, we did, and I do have a question with this, but we tried to get together and help them as much. And so like, I just went through, we wear the same size shoe, her and I. So I went through some shoes, and then I went through my clothes, and I thought, she works out, so I need to give her workout clothes, right? And she's a business person, which I don't have a lot of that. But even Angela's like, Mindy, thank you for thinking of my hoochie side, because you got me a couple of dresses. And I'm like, those came straight out of my closet, girl. But think about that, you know, and there's six of them just in that house. And okay, so I'm just trying to bring that home for like very, like your computer, your phone, everything, it's gone. Everything's gone. And take me, if you don't mind, and I don't need you to spend a lot of time on this, but like what started happening in your mind to take you out of poor me mode and look at us and look what God's taken from us and look at this tragedy that's happened, because it's horrific. And by the way, we know tragedy. Many of us here understand tragedy and maybe a different capacity, but we understand. It's like, what kept you moving forward with all, because you took a lot of hits too. Because, you know, you learn so much about how much your home insurance actually covers, which isn't everything in your home, and those kind of things. What kept you moving forward, Angela?
Yeah, that first day, you know, so I told you guys, which you may understand, you know, I always put myself last financially, because if I've committed to hiring someone and having that, I'm not just going to flake on them, right? Well, this was November 2022. The real estate market in Texas was awful, by the way, in 2021 and 2022. So our companies, not a single one of them, had been profitable in almost 24 months, which means every month I'm taking money out of savings to pay everybody else's salaries, because I know it's going to come back and I know that this is seasonal. And so I know that I will be able to make it up in the future. And then this happened right before Christmas. So to be completely transparent, awful timing financially, you know, some Christmas presents were gone with the house, you know, it's just all those things. And then you think, okay, awesome. I have no money coming in. I'm now negative all of this money. And now it's being compounded on the fact that, y'all, that first day, so our kids obviously fleeing the house, they fled the house with no shoes. They had nothing. Thankfully, I had not taken my shoes off yet. So I was very happy to be running in actual running shoes. But we went to Walmart. The boys said, we don't have shoes. Do we walk in Walmart? I was like, y'all, when in Rome, yes, we're walking in Walmart without shoes.
Y'all need shoes for Walmart. Come on.
Yeah, fine. And so we spent $3,200 in Walmart in one visit just to get socks, underwear, pajamas, toothbrush, all the things that like are sitting on the bathroom counter. And so that was my big moment where I was like, oh my gosh, this is, what are we going to do? And so as I do, had a little pep talk with myself when we got home, and the kids were really excited about their new stuff and the shock had not yet worn off. And I said to myself, you have two options. You can let this define you, and you can allow this to be a bigger deal than it is for your family, or you're going to get yourself together. You're going to brush your hair. I hadn't brushed my hair. And y'all, it took me 3 days to brush my hair after our house burned down. It's a different story, but like, you're going to brush your hair and you're going to get it together and you're going to figure this out. And so that was it, because that was the truth. I had two options. Either this was going to define me, mm-hmm. or I was going to allow this to be something that people could see through God. But I will tell you, I did have a moment, me and God, where I'm like, why? Why did you do this? Like, I'm doing my best to be an obedient servant. I ask you every day, show me the path. Don't let me miss it when you speak to me. I want to be obedient. I want to follow your path. I want to do these things. Why is this what you're giving me? And so he didn't ever tell me, but I felt like he was telling me, because I'm really stubborn. I'm not sure, but it did. It took some soul searching, and it took me getting back in my Bible and looking for things I'd never been looking for to help get me going and bring me perspective, the perspective that I needed. And the reality is that as awful as it was and as traumatic as your whole life being ripped away from you in a second, I fully understood that it could have been far worse.
Yes.
And if I'm being honest, people have it way worse every single day. And so that honestly, that one thought pushed me to not allow myself, I will not revel in this. I will not let this be what holds us back. I will not let this be a defining moment outside of showing God's grace and showing his beauty and his generosity. And so that was it. The reality is it's so many other people have it worse, right? I think about Mindy. I think about Lee. I'm like, my husband, he's still here. He's perfectly fine, right? There's so many other things, sick children that we weren't dealing with. And so it caused me to just give myself a quick kick in the butt. Yeah. And then, you know, move right along, but also help our kids with that mindset too. And I think any of you, if you work in any kind of public space where you deal with the general public, maybe this is telling on me, maybe you don't ever have these thoughts, but I do find that sometimes based on my stress level, I may or may not say things like people are stupid a lot. And so one of the things that it was probably the first time, honestly, that I cried after the fire was about, it was within the first week, and my 15-year-old, we were sorting donations that people had brought, like clothes, on this Airbnb table. And he said, "Mom, I never knew that people could be so good." And I was just like, I'd really done good until then. And then I was just like, well, you know, and it was like, you know what? And maybe that's my fault, because sometimes I might tell you that people are stupid. But not all people are, right? People are good. But that was the first time in our family's life where we were on the receiving end of being helped. We'd never experienced that before. Our kids had never experienced that before. They'd been the ones volunteering and putting together backpacks and socks and doing all of those things, but they'd never been on the receiving end, and they were in awe of the generosity and the kind and loving just words and people that would just say, "Hey, I want to stop and pray with you." And so we really saw God moving in that way. And we saw God moving with our kids' schools, their schools across the board, with you guys. You guys took up a big collection, not a small collection. And then I, in true prideful fashion, did not want to receive it. Mindy and I had some choice words, and ultimately Mindy won.
It's not always the case. I just want you to know.
But just to know that there's communities of people that are like-minded, and that God is moving all around us, even when we don't see it and when we don't realize it. It was an absolute life-changing realization for me.
And it's still in process, but I've said this before, Angela, and I know your work ethic and I know your discipline and I know like how your brain works somewhat, but you handled this just like I thought you would, with such grace. And forward motion, planning, forward motion. I am so happy to hear that you have allowed, you know, for that to set in deep and for you to cry and things of that nature. Because you don't cry often. I do. But it's because I feel. So could you just then kind of finish with, where are things now? Like, what is happening with the house now? Did y'all get another lot? Did you keep the same lot? Tell me what you decided.
So because it was our dream house and lot, and you know, now that we have this fabulous pool, you can just imagine how it looks. Last March, they demolished the house. So we had, when someone else burns your house down, by the way, which is what happened, I think I kind of glossed over that. The plumbing company came to be known. The smoke they thought they put out earlier in the day actually slowly burned up a header. And they estimate that it burned for 5 to 6 hours before it hit our attic. And so when you talk about the heat of the foundation, when we walked through after the demolition and we saw the foundation, which our foundation was 36 inches, so 3 feet of concrete, burned so hot that it actually heaved, which means it was like this. And the places that it burned hottest were in our two youngest kids' rooms, who we would have almost been putting to bed. It's on one hand a gut punch, but on the other hand, the reality of the miracle that God was with us. And so they demolished the house. We decided to build on the same lot. And so all last summer, we had no house, but we were swimming in our pool like a regular little redneck family does. And so we actually paid to have our own porta potty brought out. And so that is what we used all summer. And I would love to tell you guys that the house is finished, but that is not the truth. This has been a long, painstaking, arduous process, even for somebody like me. And I know that God has assigned me this mountain because he knows that I can handle it. And that is what I'm currently telling myself. We are going to be homeless here come July 1st, and our house may or may not be finished. God is completing his plan of making sure that I am fully submissive to his plans and that my type A personality will stop attempting to compete with his plans. And so I'm really hoping that the plan is almost complete and so will the house be. But that's how it's looking right now. Maybe June, maybe July, maybe not. Nobody knows.
But there are walls up, people. We've driven by a few times. There are walls up.
There are walls, and they are putting bricks on it this week, which is very good.
Very
good. And, you know, it will be beautiful. There will be, I'm sure, you know, this is what's so crazy. And I know that y'all know this. It's like when people talk about each other, like even in a loving way, it's, hey, this is Mindy, right? And maybe not right there with her, but perhaps they're like, oh, you like my friend Mindy? She's a widow. And they say these things. And it's so easy to just blip. It's just a little blip in everybody else's life. And the reality is that's years in pain and all of these things. And so I know this will be a blip. And in the future, I'll love this shiny new house that I never expected to have because I loved my old one and I was never moving from it. So there's going to be things that we're very grateful for. Just like everything in life, it's just not going to go the way that our hearts desire. But we are focused on the positives and we are focused on the joy in it. I asked the teenagers to pick out their countertops for their bathroom. And do you know what they said? We're not going to be here that much longer, Mom. We don't care. You just
I want to snap on, like,
okay, there go all the family memories we are going to have in this stupid pool that burned our house down. So anyways, then they saw my defeat and then they were like, okay, Mom, we'll look at them. And then they look through and they pick out the ugliest. I was like, okay, never mind. I don't want y'all to choose.
Why am I asking? Right.
Yeah. The offer's gone. So it will be good. And, you know, I will say, and because I've been through this, people will reach out to me now. And so I actually have this document saved on two things. One document is for a homeowner whose house has just burned down. And then the other one is for friends of the people whose house has just burned down. And so when people reach out to me, I just copy that. I paste it. I send it over to them. Like, here's how you can be a friend to them right now. Here's what they
need. Expect nothing less of you.
Well, it's such a randomly weird thing. And having
there's nothing out there. Just like, how do you treat a widow? There is nothing out there, right? So I get it. Well, except for Widow 411. She actually wrote a bunch of stuff. Just one more thing I want to put out. And I'm sorry, this was about it. And I'll pray us out. But is one of the cool things, if anything's cool from this, is in Mason's room, he had a Bible on his nightstand. And I saw the video. The outside was charred, right, Angela?
Mm-hmm.
And he went to grab the top of that Bible and open it up. And guess what? The inside was completely preserved. By the way, if you Google that, there's a lot. It's very, very cool. Seriously. If you Google, I Googled it just to see, and there was story after story. And God has done a work. Because like she said earlier, you have to choose one of two things. All right, last thing, Angela, is there anything that you could just impart to us that you would, if you, maybe something of encouragement, if someone is going through a hard time, maybe their house didn't burn down, maybe they haven't lost their husband. Some of us have. But what could you just impart to them knowing what you know now?
I would encourage you to check on the people that you like and love in your life, even if it doesn't require a response. A simple, hey, I'm thinking about you and I'm here for you. You know, we used to send handwritten note cards to each other, and even your strongest friends, they face the same tough, difficult battles that everyone else faces. They may just not tell you about it. So I always like to encourage everyone to just check on people. A simple text, hey, I'm thinking about you today, or hey, you're on my heart and I prayed over you today. Is there anything specific I can be praying for you in the future? Goes a tremendously long way to just remind people that they're not alone.
I love it. That's wonderful. Let me pray. So, Angela, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Ooh. Oh, Jesus, God, you are so good. Lord, I don't know why it is you do what you do. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know why you give and you take. But Lord, there are seasons, and I think you bring us through these mountains and even let us sit in the valleys, Lord God, to number one, draw us closer to you. But it's time for us to learn something. You have equipped us in all different ways and different circumstances, Lord God. And I think you bring us through those things because it's time for us to grow. It's time for us not only to become closer to you, Lord God, but you've got something else for us. I don't know why it comes through struggle, but that's the way it comes. The Bible tells stories like this over and over again, Lord God. And I just thank you for Angela and her diligence. I thank you for her seeking you. I thank you just, Lord God, for not only her giving you the glory, Lord God, but what you've done through her children and such a tragedy that could define them, that they could, for the rest of their lives, say, I can't do this because of what happened to me. We could each say that, Lord God, but we're not going to, because that's not how you work. That is not how you work. And I love you, and I just give you the glory for this call, this time. And I lift up Angela and her family. I love them, Lord God. They are sweet, sweet friends of ours, and we love them. And I pray for all of the babes here and everyone listening later, Lord God. I just lift these ladies up to you, lift their families up, and whatever mountain they're climbing or whatever valley it is you got them resting in, and you're keeping them in that valley, Lord God, I pray that they just seek you and just ask for what it is you want. Help us be obedient first, Lord God, because you want our obedience more than our sacrifice. Please let us, let our hearts just be connected to you, Lord God, because you already know our hearts. Please show us the big picture for what it is we're going through. I ask all this in your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode. I will put all the information about Angela, if you want to connect with her, within the show notes. But you guys, the MindyLawhorn.com website has a fresh look, and it's got a new face, and I've added a few things that I do nowadays, and I would love for you to come by there. So it's just MindyLawhorn.com. Come on by there and check it out. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm here to also help you and pray with you. If that's something you ever need, you can always send us prayers, and we would love nothing more than to pray with you. Thank you.